It was one of his last interviews as the head of the Pentagon, and Secretary of Defense Robert Gates had this advice for his successor. He spoke on Fox News Sunday.
No major international problem can be solved on one president's watch. And so unless it has bipartisan support, unless it can be extended over a period of time, the risks of failure are high.
And he knows whereof he speaks. This is a man who has served eight presidents for 40 years and been at least in charge, in some extent, of two wars. Robert Gates leaves his post this week. Joining us this morning to talk about his legacy is David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. You can hear him every Monday on New York Public Radio's WQXR's The Washington Report. Good morning again, David.
Morning.
So are we hearing something at the end of Robert Gates's tenure, things that we learned that we're getting a clue to, as opposed to the things he used to say when he first started to serve in Washington?
The thing about Secretary Gates is he's always been blunt publicly, even more blunt privately. But I think in the past 4 months, as he has seen his time coming to an end, he's gotten really blunt. He said at one point about 2 months ago that any American president who started another land war in Asia, paraphrasing MacArthur, ought to have his head examined. He made it pretty clear that the United States was overstretched. But he also said that one of the reasons that he is retiring now, apart from being pretty tired out after many years on the job here, nearly five, was that he was concerned that the United States was turning inward again, that we were headed into an isolationist moment where the U.S. would not be willing to go act the way he believes a global superpower must.
That would suggest, David Sanger, that perhaps Robert Gates was behind the new emphasis on diplomacy. President Obama said his foreign policy will now be based on diplomacy. We're hearing talks about negotiating with the Taliban in Afghanistan. We just heard today that Hillary Clinton says that the United States will resume some limited contact with the Muslim Brotherhood. Do you think some of that is coming from Gates?
Well, there is certainly a sense that's coming from Gates that you heard at the end of the Bush presidency, where he talked about the need to build up the amount that is spent on American diplomacy. After all, it's Bob Gates who made the comparison that the United States has more members of military marching bands than it does diplomats. It's Bob Gates who made the comparison that the U.S. spends more on health care for Pentagon employees than it pays in its entire diplomatic budget. Now, critics would point out that at the end of his tenure, that's all still the case. Although I haven't checked the marching band numbers lately, I suspect that one's probably true still as well.
We're speaking with David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. David, you were talking earlier about how Robert Gates is known for being blunt, and certainly he got himself in a little bit of trouble when he was asked point blank if the United States was winning the Iraq War, and he said, no, sir. That would suggest that perhaps once he's free of his office, we're not going to get a tell-all book from Robert Gates.
Oh, I suspect you're going to get a pretty good book from Robert Gates. If anybody among your listeners has ever read the book that he wrote at the time that he left the CIA, I think it was called Out of the Shadows, but I may have the exact title wrong. It's one of the best Washington memoirs I've ever read, partly because he's a good writer, but partly because he has a real understanding of what's new and real. And what we're looking for in his next book is the account of the last years of the Bush presidency and the battle during that time between Vice President Cheney and President Bush on a number of issues, including Iran.
Helping you out, David, I'm checking those marching band numbers. As of July of 2010, a year ago, it's still the case. So we spend more on marching bands than we spend on diplomats. So to that point on diplomacy, though, there are folks in the State Department that argue that while there's been talk of increasing the profile of diplomats, in fact, one can see a kind of consolidation under Gates's tenure at the Pentagon between the security apparatus and the Pentagon itself. You've got Gates, former CIA director, running the Pentagon. You've got Panetta, now former CIA director, running the Pentagon, replacing Gates. You've got Petraeus, former general, commander in Afghanistan, now running the CIA. It seems to me they're all ganging up on the State Department. And if anything, there's been an erosion of diplomatic clout versus the security apparatus?
Well, I think there are two things at play. One is there was an interesting idea kicked around during the early days of the Obama administration you haven't heard much about since, in which Secretary Clinton and Secretary Gates both talked about the need for a unified national security budget for the United States. So that one was actually making trade-offs between whether you wanted to put money into the military or diplomacy, and you could do it across one budget, not with different committees. And while this sounds very bureaucratic, it would be a way of trying to strike the balance. To the point that you were making, though, John, I think that part of what's going on here now is a recognition that the wars we are in now, Afghanistan, Iraq, although the U.S. will be pretty much almost entirely out of Iraq by the end of the year, and certainly the sort of hidden war in Pakistan right now, are moving much more toward covert operations, CIA and special forces. And you heard John Brennan, the counterterrorism advisor at the White House, say as much in a speech yesterday. And that tells you that where the new power is going is to these special operations and CIA forces, because the public has no appetite for large American ground forces, and they're not terribly well suited to the job.
So, David Sanger, what exactly does Robert Gates pass on to his successor that you think will survive in terms of his philosophy?
Well, I think one thing that will survive out of his philosophy is this desire not to commit large American ground forces to these kind of conflicts again. And you heard it in President Obama's speech last week about Afghanistan when he said, you know, it is time, the American public is tired of these and it's time to go focus on nation building at home. But the budget battle of cutting the Pentagon budget, that's going to be the hard part for Leon Panetta.
David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. You can hear him every Monday on New York Public Radio's WQXR's The Washington Report. David, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're speaking about the retirement, or stepping down at least, of Secretary of Defense Robert Gates. He leaves the Pentagon today.
And we're going to talk about the counterterrorism policy that he referred to in just a few minutes.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.